Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready for a Mike Vrabel bounce back, Keith?
Oh, yeah, I am ready. I am ready. Team needs it. He needs it. It's early yet, Jones, but the team needs a W, needs a bounce back, needs a good performance on Sunday, because you're literally facing The Walking Dead. The team they are playing on Sunday is Robert Kirkman's The Walking Dead. So if they can't win this one, then we got a real problem on our hands.
I would co-sign on that. You can't win this one, and you are not favored, by the way.
No. Well, I mean, it's a house of horrors down there in Miami. It's a September game in Miami. It's going to be hot.
Yeah.
Got to be hot. 200 degrees, I think, on the field.
I might need to be fact-checked on this, so apologies for rolling this out seconds into the show.
Come on.
But I believe their last win in Miami was 2019, if I'm not mistaken.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was with Tom Brady, who also struggled down there.
I'll fact check myself on that as we move along
Give yourself a little fact check. It's going to be 86 degrees.
Ooh. That's
partly cloudy.
That's not that bad.
No, there's been worse.
September in Miami, that's not that bad.
No, could be much worse. A couple weeks ago here, it was hotter than that.
But I'm with you. Vrabel needs a bounce back. We need a bounce back from Vrabel in a big way. Speaking of Mike Vrabel, you're going to hear from him live today.
All right.
On Jones and Keefe. A little before 1 o'clock. He's scheduled for 12:55.
Perfect time. Perfect time. 12:55. Good time for a press conference. What happened at like 1?
Yeah,
or 12:30?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'll do it at 12:55.
Maybe he's saying 12:55, so if he shows up at 1, it's like a nice round number.
Yeah, but he goes the other way.
He's usually early.
One time.
He's usually early.
Yeah, he's more likely at 12:50 than he is at 1 o'clock.
So anyway, it'll be at the tail end of the noontime hour. You'll hear Mike Vrabel live today on Jones and Keefe, as you typically do. Throughout football season, we're going to talk to a new guest today as well, Taylor Kyles from CLNS Media, who I think will be a good look at what happened in week one. He's a film guy.
Yes.
He's a guy who's covered the Patriots for a long time, so we'll talk to him.
Not only that, Jones.
Yes.
He's a fellow St. Paul's alum, so you know he's a genius.
I can't wait for the interview to just hear a lot of St. Paul's.
That's all it is.
What dorm were you in?
Right.
You know.
Yeah, who's your advisor? That kind of thing.
What if he really liked, was this at St. Paul's, Keith? What if he really liked the teacher that
my
you saw
astronomy
the beef
teacher?
With?
Yeah. That loser? No, I don't think he was there. Kyles is younger than us. I think that guy didn't last very long. I think he would.
But what if he's
hot.
Like, oh, that was my favorite teacher at St. Paul's.
I love that guy. Yeah. I'd be like, all right, click. That'd be it. That would end the interview if you like that guy. There's no way he likes that guy.
So Taylor Kyles at 11 o'clock, who we're looking forward to talking to. We have Would You Rathers on a Wednesday, as we do every Would You Rather Wednesday here on Jones and Keith. Plus, a hashtag Dork Minute at 11:45. So stay tuned for all of it here today on the show. We'll get to your phone call, 617-779-7937. You can interact Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. Watch along and chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always a healthy chat going on Twitch, and you can do the same on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. Big week for Vrabel, big test for Vrabel, his whole program, his whole operation. He was shaky. Bedard blamed him for the loss. He's like, top
of
my list,
him.
Bedard.
Something to monitor, I would say.
He's beat writers. There's some criticism for some of the coaches and not for others. I'm taking notes of who's lining up where.
Yeah, the offensive coordinator who was able to score one touchdown is getting kind of a free pass.
Yeah.
Feels like.
Yeah, well, it's
something I've noticed.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
You know, we talked to Curran yesterday, Bedard right off the jump today. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, well, Vrabel's the top of your list. Where's the O coordinator again?
Yeah, nowhere to be found.
That's interesting.
He had another great game.
Vrabel's the one to blame. So that sounds like McDaniels to me is a little sensitive.
I think there's a lot of blame to go around. I'm one of those. Like, there's almost everybody to blame. I think you can count on one hand. And again, probably don't even need the whole hand for guys who had a good game or guys who played up to their level or even better. Right? Like, Kayshon Boutte had a really nice game. That might end the list on offense.
Yeah.
Right? Because even some of the offensive linemen, overall, like, okay, maybe. Like, you'd grade it up to an okay. And you scored 13 points. So, like, how great of a performance was it? Defensively, there were, like, highlight plays, but then there were, like, letdowns. Right? So, like, you know, Carlton Davis looked good here, then didn't there. Jalen Hawkins looked real bad here, then, you know, comes up with a pick. And so everything in between. But, yeah, Mike Vrabel, I think, specifically, You look at what you would sort of associate with a head coach, right? Like, what did he do to impact the game in a positive way? They had a slow start on offense, a slow start on defense, a million penalties, no second half adjustments. That's rough.
Yeah.
That's a Gerard Mayo tour de force.
Yeah. I mean, look, I have Vrabel top of my list.
Vrabel's up there.
They weren't ready to go. They didn't adjust. They had a crummy offseason, like all this. But, okay, I also don't have any sources on the team and have no agenda when it comes to that.
Perfect.
So it's interesting, and I want to hear more. Who are the beat writers blaming? Let's start taking sides on this, and then I think we get a good idea of the sniping back and forth, because I think there's some sniping back and forth between Vrabel and McDaniels. I don't want to call it a power struggle. I think Vrabel is pretty clearly the one in charge, but I think one man is pushing back, and that'd be the OC, who got some criticism directly from Mike Vrabel. It's a big week for his operation, Keith.
Oh, yeah.
Miami is ripe for the taking. They were the worst team in the league in week one. McDaniel is a dead man walking. You're right.
Oh, my God.
Mike McDaniel, not Josh McDaniels.
Life comes at you fast for Mike McDaniel.
Mike McDaniel is a dead man walking.
Yep.
He loses this week. It's Buffalo week three. He could be out of a job. He could be out of a job 3 weeks into the year.
He might take himself out. Just be like, that's it, guys. I resigned.
So if you can't get your team ready to go and look like a real operation, ready to go week one, in the first half number one, adjustments at halftime, actually balanced on offense, actually limiting big plays on defense, if you can't do that 2 weeks in, we're going to have big questions about Mike Vrabel, which means it's a big week for him.
Huge week, because every single aspect of the team has room for improvement. And you're like, all right, well, it is week one. Right? That's one thing Kern tried to tell us. He's like, hey, guys, there's only 60 minutes of football. It's like, all right.
That, by the way, apologies for jumping in, but that was one of the things Bedard said that I didn't realize. He's lost four straight openers, Vrabel.
Oh, he's like Zachary Taylor.
So,
although Zachary Taylor got a win on Sunday.
He did. So, and Bedard even said this. He's
slow
like,
starts.
I don't know if it's like purposefully built in to like start a little slow. Remember we used to hear that about Bill?
He throws the first game.
I mean, I guess we used to hear that about Bill. I think that's nonsense.
Well, no, Bill's
team.
Yeah,
the first month is an extension.
Yeah,
of the
it's just the preseason.
You don't know anything
matter.
About your team until four games in or whatever. Yeah. No, but Bill, for whatever reason, that was sort of the case. But then you just knew he was going to win 9 of 10 to finish the year or whatever it was, right? Like he would. Yeah, they would have some 2-2 starts, and then they would just be a house of fire the rest of the way. And you're like, all right, that's just what they are. This team doesn't have that track record to fall back on. Your starting quarterback has won one game in the league. You know, your head coach apparently has had these slow starts before. Obviously had a bad final year with Tennessee, was not a head coach last year, and is now back in the league. Josh McDaniels was let go by the team that they went up against. So you have all that, all these guys kind of working together for the first time. And we pointed it out as it was going on. They didn't really give them the first team offense a lot of reps in the preseason. They were managing a lot of their guys, whether it was Carlton Davis, Morgan Moses, Steph Diggs, whoever. They're managing all these guys. You're like, okay, they feel like this is the best way to prepare their team. Let's see how it looks. We've only seen one game, but it didn't look great. So you're like, all right, how quickly can you then turn it around?
Yeah, and I think it's a big week too, because lines are drawn. Vrabel people, McDaniels people. May already, it's like, are we putting too much on Drake May's plate? Are we taking shots at the offensive coordinator? So already lines were one game in. And people say, don't overreact. It's 60 minutes of football. Curran told us that yesterday.
A bunch of times.
It's 60 minutes of football. It's 1 week. Let's not overreact. All right, fine. I don't think we're overreacting, but we are pointing out there already is the potential for some fractures. And you lose to Miami, which is a place where you struggle even with Brady. You lose to Miami, those fractures could be blown wide open 2 weeks into the year.
Oh, yeah, every loss sort of magnifies any kind of issues, whereas the flip side is also true. Those same issues can be there, but you win, kind of softens that up a little bit. So I would just say with any kind of team, like the different dynamics of it, normally the GM picks the coach picks the coordinators, right? Like in most places.
Most healthy, functional organizations, that's how they do it. That's not how they do it here.
No, because like that was never an issue. Like during the great years and even during the down years, Bill Belichick was also the GM and he was the head coach. And then he picked McDaniels or O'Brien or whatever. And like later, unfortunately, Patricia. And you're like, but there wasn't like a finger pointing thing going on.
Do you think Bill picked Bill O'Brien the second time?
No,
I don't either.
Probably not. But that was another weird one where
was after Patricia and Judge, and so I think Bill lost some autonomy there. But for most of his time, he got to pick.
I agree, but that was also a weird one. You're right. I don't think he actually picked him, but it was a guy he had picked before. So it was like, We're not forcing like some random dude from Detroit in here. Like
the guy that you've employed in the past.
But that was also, I mean, the beginning of the end had already, the year before was already the beginning of the end.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This one is a little bit different. So you have, you know, Mike Vrabel didn't pick Josh McDaniels, but Josh McDaniels didn't get to pick all of his offensive assistants. Those are all Vrabel guys. So it is kind of like a wild, you know, potential chemistry group with all those guys. And so if you do get off to a slow start, that's where things can look even a little bit different.
It's just why we point these things out in real time. It's like, boy, it kind of feels like McDaniels is a Kraft hire. Oh, you guys don't know what you're talking about. I mean, oh, this and that. Well, that's right. But then why does it matter? Because already it sounds like the head coach isn't on board with him and McDaniels isn't on board with Mike Vrabel. Let's hear Curran on the relationship between the two yesterday. Now, this is part of a longer answer. I asked him about all three. May, McDaniels, Vrabel, how would you describe the relationship?
Yeah.
He ultimately got to this, which I found interesting.
I don't have any intel that it's not great, but I look at Vrabel specifically scrutinizing and theorizing about we got to run the ball more. We got to be stubborn when we get to the line sometimes and not look for perfect. And we might have to take more off of Drake's plate. Those are all salvos at the offensive decisions being made. Josh is a prideful guy. He's got a lot of accomplishments. Is he comfortable with being singled out or questioned publicly after the first game? So maybe Vrabel doesn't see it as such, and maybe McDaniel says that's what he's supposed to do. He's at the podium. He's being honest. And maybe not, but it's going to require people to put their egos in their pockets to get where you want to go.
Egos already need to go into pockets.
Week one, we're talking about egos and pockets. Like, holy mackerel. That wasn't us saying that. Nope. That wasn't just throwing it out there.
Nope.
This is somebody who's tied in and talking about egos and straight up telling you that Josh McDaniels is a prideful guy and Mike Vrabel taking the time to say, yeah, maybe there is too much on Drake May's plate. Maybe we do need to look at that. Maybe we do need to kind of change things. Because this isn't Mike Vrabel's offense. This also isn't, I mean, Mike Vrabel doesn't have an offense, right? Like, Mike Vrabel's had different coordinators in his time. He's been a head coach for, this is now, what, his seventh year as a head coach in the NFL. So he has that experience. But as far as, like, running his offense, he does kind of leave it to the offensive coordinator. But maybe he's not loving the results, or maybe he's not thinking that McDaniels is getting the most out of Drake May, which is paramount. Like, is probably the most important thing for this season.
Yep.
Like, we all want a winning year. We would all even love a shot at a playoffs, clearly. But the most important thing in year two is making sure Drake May develops and is a lot better next year at this time than he is right now.
Yeah, we were never fans of the hire, meaning McDaniels, mm-hmm. in the first place. I was pretty lukewarm about Vrabel, for God's sakes. Mm-hmm. But then they paired him with McDaniels, they being the Krafts, and I already didn't like, it was an unimaginative hire. I think his offenses have been overrated. I mean, they were good when Brady was here.
Yeah.
But Brady's good with everybody, Byron Leftwich included, who can't seem to get a job.
Yeah,
so,
won a Super Bowl with Leftwich.
Thank you. So, I mean, he can make a lot of guys look good, would be the point. And a lot of them get exposed when they go elsewhere. O'Brien, Weiss, even, for God's sakes, McDaniels, when he's been a head coach. So I love that idea from Curran. It's like, I wonder if McDaniels is okay with the criticism after what, like, geez.
Yeah.
I wonder.
Yeah, I wonder.
Like, to me, between Curran,
probably not.
Between Curran and Bedard, I think we're getting our answer. He's not okay with the criticism after 1 week, which blows my mind. This guy's gotten more opportunities here specifically than he's ever deserved in his life.
Has anybody ever returned to a team more than Josh McDaniels?
I mean, like the NFL? I don't know. I don't think so.
Imagine.
I don't think so. No.
Like Billy Mountain to the Yankees.
Yeah, that's a great analogy, 100 years ago.
In a different sport, but
that,
still.
No, that might be the example.
Yeah, he also won, didn't he? Billy Martin actually won as a manager.
Bring him back!
Yeah, he actually won.
Billy Martin's a madman.
McDaniel's done nothing without Tom Brady. Nothing. So the guy's gotten more chances than any coach I can think of in the sport.
Yeah.
Maybe outside of Billy Martin in another sport.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to bristle at criticism when his offense stunk after 1 week and the quarterback looks like he's taken a setback?
Yeah.
You can't handle that criticism?
He doesn't like it. He doesn't like that. It's a team. Play as a team. Coach as a team. Can't single out one guy.
I didn't think we'd be here after 1 week, Keith.
No,
first
of all, I thought they'd beat the Raiders.
I thought they'd win. I thought they would look good.
Yeah.
I didn't think lines in the sand would be drawn already between the head coach, the coordinator, and possibly the quarterback already.
All right, confidence rankings. This is a new segment called Confidence Rankings. Okay. You need to rank Vrabel, McDaniels, May. Who are you most confident in?
A scale of one to what?
Rank them. No scale. Rank them. Like one, two, three.
I thought we were ranking them. We were ranking each of our confidence level in each.
No, that's a meter.
Got it. Yeah.
Coming in at number third.
That would be like one to 100.
Coming in at number third, McDaniels.
So you're least confident McDaniels. Yep. You're most confident in whom? And then the other guy, I guess, would be in the middle.
I'm going to go most confident in May, but I don't feel good about it. I actually don't feel good about any of them, but I'm most confident in May.
I agree with that, but to answer the question, I will say I'm most confident in Vrabel.
These are controversial confidence rankings
this
already.
This is controversial.
Yeah. Controversy.
These are some hot takes. These are some Wednesday hot takes. I'm the most confident in Vrabel, admitting that I'm not even like super confident, but it's just of this scale. Then Drake May. Then Josh McDaniels.
Yeah, so neither of us are confident in McDaniels.
Correct.
I hope he doesn't hear that. I know a lot of people in that organization apparently are very rabbit-eared. I hope he doesn't hear that and take out the criticism.
Well, listen, just on that scale, Twitch chat says McDaniels, Vrabel, May. So they're flipping the script.
Wow. We stumbled onto something, Keith.
I think
let's open it up on the phone. 617-779-7937. Confidence rankings every Wednesday here on Jones and
Power Rankings.
Yeah.
I think May, I've said this a bunch, but
it's not tears.
It's not.
Well, it's very small tears.
Obviously,
I guess.
It's not tears, Nick. Yeah. Everybody knows it's not tears. May is probably the most polarizing. I think McDaniels is the next most. I think Vrabel has a relatively high approval rating. Now, once you start losing games, the head coach, that approval rating will obviously sink. Mm-hmm. But don't you think most fans, if you're just like the poll fans, you're like, do you think he's doing like a good job? I think some will say yes. I think the other two, you'll get different results.
Interesting.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.